Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Romans in chapter 8, I'm going to preach a familiar passage, led to it last night by the Lord, and I don't really have an outline here. I'm just going to preach through the text and trust that it's going to be a blessing to you. It's not like I don't know what I'm going to preach. I just don't know how I'm going to preach it. That's how these kind of messages go. But I thank God for every opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. And I thank God for every opportunity to minister. And those of you that I want to say this again, I don't know that this will be on the radio, but everybody that's working out at Canaan Land, God bless you. I know it's a long summer. You get out of school and we jump right into camp. We start working at the camp, and then before we know it, we're in camp weeks, and it's a drain and it's spiritually exhausting. But God will bless you for it, and the rewards are great. I want to encourage you the best way I know how. And everybody's contributing. It seems like everybody's going out and doing something. And I got to tell you this story about some numbskull youpers that were out there working on Friday, I think it was. I was in the kitchen and I was working on the new range, the new hood for the range, the old range, the new hood over it. And I could hear a tractor working, and it was pouring rain, and I could hear the beeping of the backup and then go forward. And I knew they were trying to set some posts, and I didn't know exactly what they were doing. And this was in the middle of that lightning storm. And it was thunder, it was thundering, and it was, you know, the lightning was going on, and the thunder was clacking and thundering literally through the sky. In fact, you could see the bolts of lightning, and it was all around us. And now listen to this. I know we have a time frame, and certain things have to be done before camp, but we had three men out there. It may have been four, it could have been four, but someone has to do the funeral, so I stayed away, all right? We had three men out there working with a 40-foot pole, putting it in the ground for a light over the basketball court and over that area of the camp. And they're out there with a skid steer and a 40-foot pole. And I heard the thunder and I saw the lightning. I came out of the building and said, man, they're back. Were you involved in that? No, I wasn't. Okay. But it was Mike, you guessed the last name. And Dave and Greg, you can guess all the last names. And they were out there setting that pole. I went into the sweet shop and I said to Dave's wife, I said, are they out there setting that pole? She said, yes. I said, are they crazy? I said, don't they? She said, well, we do have life insurance. And I said, listen, tithe off of that life insurance. This might be the perfect will of God. You tithe off of that life insurance, and we'll name that pole, that light pole, after your husband, is what we'll do. I went out there, and they just got it done. And I'm telling you, there are bolts of lightning in the sky. I'm thinking, these are the kind of people I have to pastor. This mentality, that's the people that God put me as the under-shepherd over. And I'm sure God knew what he was doing when he did that as well. In Romans in chapter 8, I want to encourage you the best way I know how. Look at verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Man, I preach this text. I preach it several different directions and several different ways. And when God led me to the text last night, I thought, God, you know, I've kind of covered this ground, but I just got this distinct impression by God the Holy Spirit that somebody desperately needs this text this morning. And the rest of us, we get to listen in because it's good for all of us, all right? I had no idea, by the way, when God was dealing with my heart that my brother Joe was already in God's presence. Man, I had no idea. I have no idea what's going on in your house behind closed doors. But I want you to know that everything is going to be all right. In this text, it's where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I want to encourage you in the doctrine of joy this morning. And that word joy is found over 500 times in the Word of God. The doctrine of everything is going to be all right is all over the Scriptures. So I don't know the path that you are traveling this morning. But I do know this, no matter what is going on in your heart and in your family and in your home. You have, if you're born again, you have a God that if you will follow him, everything will be all right. If you choose not to follow him, that's your poor choice. And everything may not be all right. It says here, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, God in his providence, God in his sovereignty, understands all that's going on in your life. And he's arranged for some difficult times in your life to bring so that you will bring glory to God. The next verse says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We're on the road from groans to glory. If we just understand that. If we as a people of God, now it's possible, and I know it happens, where even children of God get discouraged. Boy, do I know that's true. I know we're human. God knows our frame, the psalmist said. He knows that we are but dust. And it might be here this morning that you're a child of God and you've kind of lost sight of what's going on and who Jesus is. And you've lost, you're out of touch with him. And a lot of things seem to be going wrong. And I'm telling you, God is allowing those things in your life to bring you back to him. To get you back on your knees. Because you're a proud creature just like I am. And we're full of ego. And it isn't long. We start thinking we don't need God. And again, we don't always verbalize it, but we live it that way. We go ahead and live our day without God. We never have a prayer closet. We never read our Bible. And we just kind of go through life and wonder why God isn't blessing us more. And why is God blessing that person over there? And look what's going on in my life. And we don't understand. But if you would understand this, there is no reason for the child of God to ever really get downhearted. I know we do, but there's no reason for that. Hold your hand here and turn back to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. Luke and chapter 18 and verses 28 through 30. Jesus just got through saying, all things are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. You don't ever have to feel sorry for a servant of God. This is what Jesus said. Peter said, well, God, we've left all to follow you. Jesus just got through telling them, with God, all things are possible. Peter says, God, I've forsaken everything to follow you. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, no man ever left father or mother or their home or the things of this world to follow for the kingdom, for the sake of the kingdom of God, except that God is going to bless them abundantly more and more. And I like this part, in this life, and the life to come. There is no greater life than serving God. Listen, teenager, sometimes the world is calling your name and they want you to be just like them. That is a dead end street. Man, if you just follow God, you'll know joy and happiness. Man, don't start worshiping money. Don't start worshiping a job. Don't stop worshiping a vocation. Or start worshiping a vocation or a profession. Worship Jesus. Worship God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness first. His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said in Luke, if you give up all to follow me, and it's for the kingdom of God, it's really for me, you haven't lost a thing. The devil will tell you if you serve God, you're going to lose. If you serve God, you have to give up too much. I haven't given up anything that I miss. Not a thing. Man, I'm living in the lap of spiritual luxury. Man, I bathe in the Word of God every day. I got good Christian brothers and sisters that love me and tell me they love me, and they're there to help whenever I need them. And I have God. I've got God. I've got the Holy Spirit. There's not a thing that I gave up in this world, except God didn't bless me abundantly, far beyond. Far beyond. Let's go back to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. God has a passion for every sinner, a plan for every saint, and provision for every son. God, you listen to the Apostle Paul. Now, when Paul writes this under inspiration, Paul writes this to the Christians that are at Rome. And he's encouraging them in the hour of persecution. And Paul knew a little bit about what persecution was all about. And he said, man, here's what you need to understand. It says in verse, I skip a lot to read this, but I don't have enough time to preach the entire chapter. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them all he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And I will tell you verse 30, and this isn't exhausting the text, but I'll tell you what the text is saying, what that verse is saying. I am as good as in heaven already as a child of God. It's predestined. It's a done deal. I've got the seal of the King, the finger of God, the mark of God upon my life. I have been born into his family, and I am a child of God. And I am as good as in heaven already. You say, that's a license to sin. Oh, no. You're too shallow. That's not what it is at all. In fact, that's the opposite of a license to sin. Now when I sin, God corrects me. I don't get away with sin. That doesn't happen because he loves me. And that's what Hebrews chapter 12 teaches. That's not a license to sin. That's security. I belong to God. I recognize that I'm going to God's heaven not because of anything I did or can do. I'm going to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. I'm already here. It's predestined. I am predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. What a great truth it is. I'm justified. I'm glorified. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm as good as there. I am as good as there. The economy tanks. Persecution breaks out. My health falls apart. My loved ones turn on me. The family of God compromises. I'm as good as in heaven. In spite of all that could possibly go wrong, I'm already as good as there. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 18. Go back to that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I have God, and God has me. The background of this letter is the gathering storm of persecution to all of the Roman Christians. And Paul here says to these Roman believers, we're not alone. We have God. We have enough. We're as good as in heaven already. I know what Joe thought when he opened his eyes in the presence of God. I don't know the words that went through his glorified mind at that point. But I know the thought. Wow. This is better than I ever imagined. I'm as good as there. Being persecuted, we're guaranteed heaven. We're not alone. God is with us. We have God. Verse 32. To speed things up. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here's a great point. I have it all. I have it all as a child of God. I have it all spiritually. I have everything I need materially, above and beyond. He's given me so much. I can name material things. I got what I want. My God's good. I'm not rich by many people's standards, but I'm rich. What a privilege to serve him. Everything's going to be all right. You understand that? That's what Paul is saying to these Roman Christians. You're as good as in heaven already. That's a guarantee. You have Christ. It's this book of Romans that speaks of the imputed righteousness of Christ over and over and over again. And we're not alone. We have God. And verse 32 says, I have it all. Now, I know that I looked at this text sometime in the last month, but I want to show you two things in the text that I never saw before. I never saw before last night. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 10. And this is concerning the Queen of Sheba coming and seeing Solomon. And I don't need to rehearse all this. I know you know it. And I know I preached it. But there's a couple of things that I never saw before. And we'll just read two verses is all we're going to read. We're going to read verse 2 and we're going to read verse 13. Here's the deal. The Queen of Sheba has heard down in Africa of Solomon's God. Down in Africa, she had heard of the Israelites, the Hebrews' mighty God, Jehovah. His fame and reputation and glory has spread throughout the earth. And the Queen of Sheba started to worship the Lord God Jehovah. And she wanted to know more. And in her heart, she had some thoughts, some doubts that maybe it isn't everything it ought to be. So she made a trip and spared no expense and brought with her all kinds of gold and wealth to present it unto Solomon and Solomon's God. That's verse 2. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. You know the story. That, in other words, that verse tells us she asked Solomon all kinds of questions, all kinds of spiritual questions, all kinds of questions about God, all kinds of questions about how God had provided for them every step of the way. And she was hungry for God. And Solomon answered all of her questions. And then the Queen of Sheba looked around and saw the servants of Solomon and saw how happy they were. And we ought to be happy in the Church of Jesus Christ. We ought to be people that know laughter and joy because that's the kind of God we serve. And walking around like you're Beetle Bailey or Sad Sack, whatever that cartoon, you know, like you're dragging your chin on the ground and you got the weight of the world upon your shoulders, that's not a good testimony. And the Queen of Sheba saw all the servants and how happy they were because they were serving. She brought all kinds of gold. Look what it says in verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of all his royal bounty, so that she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. You cannot even begin to outgive God. You're not even on the same level. You can't get anywhere close to outgiving God. Teenager, you're thinking, you're struggling whether you're going to surrender to God or not. You're a fool if you don't. You can work from now until the day you stop breathing and you'll never get what God would have gave you. Never. She brought all kinds of gold, camels just loaded down, all kinds of wealth, and she's ready to leave. After being blessed, her blesser was as blessed as a blesser could get. It was full to overflowing. And she's ready to leave, and Solomon just pours on the wealth, pours on the blessings. So when she left Jerusalem, she left richer than what she came. Let's go back to Romans in chapter 8. I have it all. I have it all in Jesus. Verse 33. I've got to pick the pace up here a little bit. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Nobody. Nobody will be able to condemn a child of God. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. We read that in Revelation. He'll do all he can to destroy, but it won't stick. It will not stick, not even at the Bema seat of Christ, because we have God and he's justified us. I've used this illustration before. I sat in the chair of the accused. The judge was God the Father. The prosecuting attorney was the devil himself. Laid out my life before the judge and the whole world to see. And I was guilty. Period. A sinner. Worthy of hell. Worthy of eternal death. But I have an advocate. A mediator. My defense attorney is none other than Jesus Christ. And God the Father looked down at me and I was as guilty could be. But my advocate, my mediator, my Savior stood to his feet and said, I paid the price for his sin. When I bled at Mount Calvary and my blood shed from my, was dripped from my body down in the dirt of Jerusalem and the hilltop of Golgotha, that blood was shed for him. I place upon him my righteousness. And God the Father slammed his gavel down and said, I offer to you, boy, looking at me, I offer unto you a pardon. Not probation. A full pardon. If you'll just take my son. I said, I'm in. I want him. I was justified that very moment. Legal term. Just as if I had never sinned. When God the Father looks at me, he looks at me through the prism of the blood of the Son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's why I know everything's going to be all right. God treats his children right. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And I know that one day I'm going to be with him forever in heaven. I'm justified. And on top of that, I'm prayed for. Look at verse 34. Verse 34, I'm not forgotten. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'm not forgotten. I am being prayed for. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, I have a mighty advocate. He's the one that mentions, brings my name to the throne of God. Paul is saying to these Roman believers, in light of the coming storm, great storm of persecution in that first century, he's telling them everything is going to be all right. You need to understand, all things do work together for good. Verse 28, to them that love him, to them that are the called according to his purpose. I better say this before I get to whatever I'm going to preach left to this message. As you just can't claim that verse like a Pollyanna, little numbskull Christian that doesn't really know the score and what's going on and everything's going to be all right. That's not how it works. You read the text there. Verse 28 of Romans here says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. That's not every little child of God. That's not the child of God that's skipping through life and doing everything they want to do and they're not honoring God. I mean, there's some big messes there. That's the child of God that loves him. That's following his path. Called according to his purpose. And all things work together for good. Great hope for the child of God that loves Jesus. Great hope. Verse 35, let me summarize this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall persecution, or shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Before I read that next verse, we are more than conquerors. And I've done a word study all through this passage. More than conquerors. Mega conquerors. Super conquerors. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I've said it twice now. I remember saying it twice. I remember because it spilled out of my mouth the first time. I thought, man, that's actually kind of profound. Maybe I should try to write that down. I forgot to write it down. But I mean, I remember saying this. I have a superhero. And he doesn't leap tall buildings. But he bore a cross. He didn't wear a cape. But he conquered the grave. He's the real superhero. He's not a comic book superhero. Runs around in tights. What kind of man does that? No wonder they wear masks. My hero is Jesus Christ. And in him, we are more than conquerors. Oh, look at the last verse, last couple of verses. For I am persuaded. Listen to the Apostle Paul. I am persuaded. I am sure take me all back, tie me up, and beat me with a stick. I am persuaded you're never going to change my mind. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That pretty much covers everything, but just in case it didn't, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the guarantee. Paul says everything's going to be all right. Paul said to him, if you'll just walk the path that he dictates, if you'll just follow him, if you just fulfill his purpose for your life, if you love Jesus and you're called according to his purpose, no matter what happens, everything is going to be all right. You're as good as in heaven already. You're already justified. You have the imputed righteousness of Christ. He's interceding for you. He's your advocate. He's the one that's praying for you. You're not forgotten. You're secure. And Paul says, I'm sure. Jesus Christ is our guarantee. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If the blessings stopped today in my life, if it was to turn into a Job situation and all the blessings stopped and everything went wrong, and I'm loving Jesus, then I'm okay. It's all for good. It was for Job. If the blessings stop today, I still know everything's going to be all right. World doesn't have that kind of security. No way. Talk about the U.S. dollar and not enough money, not enough gold to cover the U.S. dollar, which is just a note. You know, I know all that stuff. You know, I know that everything's going to crash one way or another. And I just heard some of the European nations, they're talking about how you know what? Everybody's printing money. That happened another time. You know that, don't you? And all the nations are printing money. That isn't going to work. If everything comes crashing down, if I find out I got cancer, everything goes wrong. If my health, I'm still okay. And I'm going to praise God every moment I have. So I'm telling you this morning, Christian, everything's okay. God even watches over dumb youpers out putting up a 40-foot pole in a lightning storm. I'm not exaggerating. Bolt of lightning right at the edge of the property. I'm thinking, hey, you guys, get out of there. Get out. And you know what? God even watches over his sheep that sometimes stray. Sometimes we're not particularly smart. I gotta believe God said, I bet those guardian angels were working overtime that evening, you know, holding all that those lightning bolts back. The devil's there trying to hold it all back. We worship a good God, and he's holding it all back. He's helping us. You will never go wrong loving God. You go wrong loving yourself, you'll never go wrong loving God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.